The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
Rainmaker FM.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. This is your host, Calvin Reed. I'm going to take you on another tour of the habits, habitats, and brains of renowned writers. The Guardian writer, psychology journalist, and author of the acclaimed book, The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking, Oliver Berkman dropped by the program to talk to me about the writer's journey, turning a weekly column into a book, and rethinking positive thinking. Oliver writes about psychology, self-help culture, productivity, and the science of happiness for his columns in both The Guardian and Psychology's magazine. And he's also interviewed a laundry list of celebrities ranging from Al Gore to Jerry Seinfeld. In his critically acclaimed book, The Antidote, the author went undercover into the heart of the happiness industrial complex to explore why our relentless pursuit of happiness and success often leaves us feeling the opposite. The author looked at academics, psychologists, Buddhists, business consultants, philosophers, and many others in a unique search for an alternative path to happiness and success that involves embracing failure, pessimism, insecurity, and uncertainty, the very things we spend our lives trying to avoid. The LA Times said of the book, Berkman's tour of the negative path to happiness makes for a deeply insightful and entertaining book. In part one of this file, Oliver and I discuss the author's lifetime love of journalism, how his challenges with time management led to his latest book project, why constraints can improve your productivity, and time-tested advice for getting words onto the page. The Writer Files is brought to you by the all-new Studio Press Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for authors, bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/StudioPress now. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published. And we are rolling once again on The Writer Files today with a special guest. Oliver Berkman has agreed to join us, and journalist, Guardian writer, columnist extraordinaire, and author of a book I am quite enjoying right now, The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. Probably one of the greatest titles for a self-help book ever. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
So, as I noted earlier, you are probably sick of talking about The Antidote. It has been out for several years now, but it does seem somewhat timely now for some reason when I found it by another great article you wrote for The Guardian. And my wife saw the title sitting on the kitchen table. She was like, yes. And I was like, I know, it's perfect. It's perfect right now. So anyway, I'd love to talk to you some about that, some about what you're up to. You More recently, you write about social psychology, self-help culture, productivity, and the science of happiness. All these great things. I'd love to just kind of get into your process. So maybe for listeners who aren't kind of like familiar with you or your journey as a writer, you could kind of get us up to speed a little bit on kind of how you got here.
Sure. Yes. I always feel like my personal story as a writer is incredibly boring because I've been on a one track mind with regard to this since I was about like eight or something. And my parents will embarrass me if requested by getting out copies of the kind of little sort of photocopied newsletter I tried to make my like grade school or whatever, it's not elementary school, but primary school in the UK. People read, you know, and I was sort of doing all that kind of school newspaper stuff, and then student journalism at university, and then like as soon as I could, I started hanging around the offices of newspapers doing kind of casual copy editing shifts here and there until I don't know. I guess it was simpler to give me a job than to get me get security to escort me from the building. So anyway, I want to be able to say like, you know, first of all, I went out and got a ton of life experience, and then I decided it was time to write about it. But actually, I have apparently known from a very very young age that writing and sort of journalism specifically, because I still think of the book I'm working on now as journalism. Some people take that as almost a derogatory term compared to like, I don't know, nonfiction writing or something. But I sort of wanted to do it all along. Now, in that time, I've done a lot of very different things. So I have done news reporting. I've been reporting from the UK, the US, written about politics, written about, interviewed a bunch of, you know, celebrities for the movie pages or whatever, you know. So I have done a bunch of different things in that time, but looked at from one level higher up, you know, one vantage point higher up. It is just it's just writing stuff since I was old enough to have any thought about what I wanted to do.
Wow. Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the arrow, mercy is the bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on three decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories, wherever you buy books, and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. So that's cool. So your life experience has been your kind of the journey is the destination for writing. So there wasn't like a lightning bolt. It just kind of was always a part of your life, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that did sort of happen that was interesting from my perspective, I don't know about anyone else, was that, you know, specifically coming to write about psychology, psychotherapy, work, productivity, all this kind of area of stuff. That was very much a kind of, that was a sort of fairly sudden realization that I was already obsessed with this kind of all this stuff in my personal life and in my work life, and that actually it was really good stuff to write about. So, you know, I was sort of geeking out on productivity systems and sort of furtively reading self-help books long before I realized that actually it was a good, interesting, you know, journalistic subject matter as well. And I hope that the result in the case of the Antidote is somewhere between, you know, a self-help book and a reported work of journalism. And I kind of like going back and forth over that line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Antidote, dubbed as a anti-self-help book, has had some great critical acclaim. And, you know, I mean, it's described as kind of that blurb, success through failure, calm through embracing anxiety, a total original approach to self-help. And I'm really glad I found it. The time management piece you wrote, Why Time Management is Ruining Our Lives, is actually how I found you. And that was a fantastic piece also. So as you mentioned, you cover a lot of different bases there with your journalism. That was a great piece. You were talking about how time is kind of slipping out of our control and the thousands of productivity apps that we're faced with every day and techniques designed to kind of enhance our personal productivity seem to exacerbate those anxieties, mm-hmm. which is something that you cover quite extensively as to the reasons behind that. So that's cool that the book, it seems, was kind of a culmination of a lot of the things that you write about in your column for The Guardian there. This column will change your life. And then, you know, it's also, as you noted, kind of, it's got great storytelling, fantastic examples from great philosophers, psychologists, a lot of good writerly quotes in there too. Thank you very much. You know, you've got like Edith Wharton and Shakespeare, and you know, you get into pieces on how the beat poets kind of all get into meditation and so on and so forth. So I am very much enjoying the book, The Antidote. What are you working on now? You know, there's lots of places to find your work out there. I'll link to the column and your website. What do you got in the hopper?
Well, I'm continuing to write the column for The Guardian and working on a few long pieces for them. But I guess the biggest thing is I am working on another book, which is kind of picks up on some of those themes in the time management piece, because it is about more generally time and like how to use time and our experience of time. And, you know, basically trying to look at this question of time management, which tends to be treated in a very sort of superficial way, in my opinion, through a kind of philosophical lens, if that doesn't sound too grandiose, you know, based on the fact that like human life is very short. You know, an average human lifespan is something like 4,000 weeks. It's always a terrifying figure whenever I think about it. And so really time management is the ultimate problem in philosophy, right? Because it's like, how do you make the most of this incredibly short period of time? And so, you know, it's a kind of a large subject, but I'm trying to look at that in this book through psychology, different ways in which we experience time, what affects our experience of time, what makes time feel like it's speeding up as we get older, some of the particular challenges that everyone seems to be dealing with a lot these days, which are very much sort of time-related challenges, like distraction and short attention spans and, you know, all this stuff. And as ever, and this is a really important point to make in anything I'm writing where I'm telling people, giving people advice, like this is all just the stuff that I'm agonizing about and grappling with. This isn't, this is never because like I've solved all the problems and my life is perfect and now I'm going to tell you how to have a perfect life. It's always more kind of therapy where I'm, you know, trying to sort of work it through in the form of a book and hope that it maybe helps some other people along the way.
That's the main thing.
The main thing is the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to just kind of pick your brain about productivity and then, you know, kind of how you fit all the pieces together, because you're working, you know, you obviously have a weekly column. You do kind of other things on the side and then you're working on this new book. So how much time are you spending reading, doing research kind of before you get started?
Wow. I so love talking about this topic. It's almost troubling because I think it is partly talking about your process is a great way to not get on with your writing process. But anyway, I think that you know, and the other thing to say is that we have a 3-month-old baby at the moment. So everything I've learned about productivity and work processes has kind of been ripped up into small shreds and thrown up in the air, and it's all kind of resettling a little bit at the moment. I think that's actually been really useful from the point of view of my writing. I'm glad to have that kind of earthquake strike the process, because you get out of all sorts of ruts. And the other thing, of course, is that when you don't have very much time, because you're trying to be a sort of active parent as well, turns out to be quite good, actually. If you only have 3 or 4 hours in a day to dedicate to your writing, you get a move on. If you have 15 hours, you risk spending it all on Twitter. I still spend plenty of time on Twitter, but less than I did. I've always kind of been someone who very much mixes up the research, reporting, reading, planning, and writing. So it's really hard for me to put figures on it and say, well, if I'm writing a book, first of all, I would spend this many months doing the research, and then I'll move to the writing phase. There's a little bit of that, you know. Obviously, towards the end, it's more writing, and towards the beginning, it's more research. But I've always sort of jumbled it up, sort of divided up into chapters or chunks, and try to research and write one of them just to have something, and then you keep the other tracks going simultaneously. I think that's probably a very sort of someone trained in newspapers like I was. I think that's probably a very typical thing, as opposed to being, I don't know, an academic who moved into this kind of writing. And it's all kind of jumbled. And I have quite sort of thought through ways of keeping the material organized, like physically and in Evernote and Word and everything. But when it comes to actually how I'm using the time, all those stages are pretty much jumbled up with each other. And I think that's, you know, partly I am unable to do anything more organized, but it's also because I think it's also helpful. You know, I think you sort of, one of the things I always get from planning and actually writing long pieces or chapters is, you know, then you suddenly see the piece that you're missing and the person you've got to go and talk to, or the bit of your argument that doesn't make sense yet. So you've got to go away and, you know, walk around the park with a pencil in your mouth for a couple of hours to try to figure out how to make it make sense. And you don't find that if you don't get going, you know, if you just, if you're just sort of vacuuming up information, waiting for the day when you are going to start writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, it seems like there's a piece, a teaching piece kind of to what you do too. It's almost as if you are it's almost like you're in academics with the amount of research that you kind of put into stuff. So I'm sure that your brain is, again, kind of needs those restful periods where you're doing like productive procrastination and focusing on other, or taking, you know, or just taking a walk to let your brain kind of incubate some of those bigger ideas. Cause there's a lot of big ideas, in your writing. So, I mean, it sounds like you sit down every day, but do you find that you're like more productive in the morning or the evening, or again, is it just kind of whenever the inspiration strikes?
No, on the level of the day, I am fairly I'm fairly rhythmic. It's been, you know, as I say, thrown up in the air a bit recently. But basically, I am a morning writer, and I sort of try to ring fence really only maybe 4 hours occasionally, and maybe 5 consecutive hours. But usually, you know, it used to be like 7:30 a.m. to 12:30 midday. now, thanks to my son, it is more like going to be 9 a.m. to 1 or 1:30 or something. Right. But that's sort of before anything else. And on a good day, this does not always work, and anyone listening will probably be able to go on Twitter and find evidence of it not working. but on a good day, I would not check email or Twitter or anything else before those hours are done. I've got a MacBook Air, like probably everybody, and I had an old one that I thought was broken, and I replaced it, and then I realized I could get that one fixed for a small sum. So now I've got like a machine that I try to do the writing on for the book, and it does have the internet, but it basically has nothing. Like I've deliberately sort of removed the possibility of almost any form of distraction. I can find a browser because sometimes you need to go back and look at your research or whatever, but online somewhere. So that's the kind of trick that has worked quite well for me on the book. With more sort of day-to-day journalism, you need to be more connected than that. So I don't try to hide myself away so much in those hours. But the only thing that has ever really worked for me is the time-honored advice to do the most important thing first, and then if the rest of the day sort of collapses into a mess, at least you've done the thing that you needed to do.
That's a good one. Both the using a dedicated machine for the bigger writing piece, and then swallowing your frog kind of first thing in the day is those are good time attested tricks. All right. So, I really want to pick your brain about the writer's block question. I've spoken with, and I know you kind of rub elbows with neuroscience and psychology, and I've actually had a neuroscientist on the show to talk to me about some of the causes of writer's block, or even whether or not it's a thing. So, do you have some thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, I don't have much in the way of sort of scientific explanations for it. It's not something I've worked on recently in that sense, but I've sort of experienced my fair share of it. I really like, there's a guy called Paul Sylvia who wrote a book called How to Write a Lot, which is aimed at academic psychologists, but it's actually really useful information for anybody writing, I think. And he makes this great point that like writer's block is kind of an example of a certain kind of fallacy in explanation, because you're using the description of what happens, which is that you're not getting your writing done, as an explanation. So it's like, well, I'm not doing any writing, I must have writer's block. It's just another way of saying, I'm not doing any writing, I must not be doing any writing. And so it's sort of a description of a behavior, sort of masquerading as an explanation for that behavior.
Yeah.
I don't know that some distinct thing called writer's block, in any meaningful sense exists. I think that procrastination and inactivity and not doing the things you wanted to do definitely exist, and probably we sort of romanticize it a bit more with writing than we do with other things. And the romanticization helps create the problem, because it becomes this very sort of, this idea is this very grand issue that you've got. And the people, I'm not the first person to say, but you don't get washing machine repairman block or right. Or plumber block or barista block. When you have to do the job, and we don't sort of glamorize it in the culture as an amazingly romantic job, you find a way to get on with it, even when you're not feeling like doing it.
Thanks so much for joining me for this half of a tour through the writer's process. If you enjoy the Writer Files podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on iTunes to help other writers find us. For more episodes, or to just leave a comment or a question, you can drop by writerfiles.fm. And you can always chat with me on Twitter @KeltonReed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.